Legends Weekend, starring Johnny Walker
on BBC WM 95.6.
Evening. And yes, I know you've got it.
Who was that voice there? Very good evening, Johnny Walker here on BBC WM, and it's a huge thrill for me and a great honour to be asked to kick off this very special weekend. 45 years since the beginning of WM, way back when it was known as BBC Radio Birmingham. Also coming up over the weekend will be Bev Bevan, Chris Tarrant, Nick Owen, Les Ross, and a load of great stuff happening. Well, the music is from Duane Eddy. It's an old theme tune I've been playing for about 49 years. It's called Because They're Young. Here's one of the first records that I heard at the Locarno Ballroom in Birmingham way back in about 1965, and I thought, somehow, I want to be involved with music. Early Motown record, The Four Tops, and Something About You. Well, we're calling this show from now until 10 o'clock, My Life, My Music. And it spans the years of kind of growing up, becoming a DJ, getting onto pirate radio, a bit of Radio 1 and Radio 2, of course. So let's go way back to when I was about 12 years old, one of five kids. I was born in Alton. And my dad very excitedly came home from work one evening with this sort of cardboard box. Opened it up. He said, get around, kids. This is really amazing. And he pulled out this white box, opened the lid, stuck a handle in it and wound it up and put this big 78 RPM record, one of the real old-fashioned records before vinyl came along. And he said, have a listen to this, kids. And guess what? He played this.
Down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.
Dad, please, come on. You could have got a better record than that. Later on, my elder brother started buying vinyl records, and we started playing things like this.
Well, it's Saturday night, and I just got paid. Fool about my money, don't try to save.
That's more like it. Well, brilliant stuff. Little Richard and Rip It Up. Johnny Walker here on BBC WM 95.6. Love to hear from you. The email's bbcwm@bbc.co.uk. And you can text on 81333. Start your message with WM. Now, the thing about my brother, he had all these great records. And he said, I don't mind you listening to them while I'm here. But when I go out, on no account must you touch any of my records or play them when I'm not there. And of course, when he went out, I completely disobeyed that and started playing some of his records. And here's one that I used to play a lot. It was a big favorite of mine, and unfortunately I sat on it and broke it in half. He was not pleased. Great record. Tommy Steele and Singing the Blues. The original version was done by Guy Mitchell, but that was the big British hit by Tommy Steele. And the thing is, back in those days, and we're talking sort of like, you know, early 1960s and all of that, records were so important because you couldn't hear music on the radio. From the light program, as it then was, you got about two hours of pop music at the weekend, maybe an hour on a Sunday morning. Or you could listen to Radio Luxembourg, which famously used to fade out for what seemed ages, and then you just have to be by your radio and wait for it to fade back in again. So buying records was the really important thing. And the other place that you could hear great music was when the Fun Fair came to town. And I remember as a teenager when Bob Milson's Fun Fair came to Solihull, which I moved to after moving from Alton. I just loved all the lights, all the glamour, all the excitement of the Fun Fair, and every single attraction, you know, whether it be the waltzers or the dodgems, they were blasting out great rock and roll like this. Chuck Berry and Johnny B. Goode. We're playing some oldies, and gradually we'll work up to some new music. But we're way back in the 1960s at the moment. It's BBC WM. This is the Legend Weekend, marking this radio station's 45th anniversary. Started way back in 1970 when it was called BBC Radio Birmingham, and it had jingles like this.
We play you hits and more.
Hits, hits, hits.
BBC.
Oh, I wanted a Birmingham one.
Radio Birmingham. 206
on VHF. How much did they pay for that? £5 in old money. Amazing. So we got some of the old jingles and stuff. Just a reminder what's happening tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. It's Les Ross, who I think is going to come in on this show at some point. And remind me of a certain DJ contest. He's kind of dined out on that for his entire life. So we'll talk about that, obviously. Malcolm Boyden will be on tomorrow between 7 and 9. At 9 o'clock, a very special show as part of the Legend Weekend. Chris Tarrant on BBC WM. That's at 9 o'clock tomorrow till 11. And then Nick Owen, who's just nipped in to say goodbye, will be playing the vinyl countdown of the top 10 from this week, back at the beginning of this radio station, back in 1970. We got sport from 2 until 6. Network Gold with John Platt is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And then Introduced with Bevin and Louise Briley. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Yeah. It's all in 24-hour time here. 2,200 hours, it'll be Tony and Julie. So, I mentioned I was one of five children. Sadly, two of them are no longer with us. So for my brother, I'd like to play as a thank you to all that great rock and roll music he introduced me to, his favourite record of all time. The wonderful Fats Domino from New Orleans and Blueberry Hill. It's BBC WM 95.6. You can text us on 81333. Start your message with WM. Hi to Moz. Many thanks for your text. Hello to Helen. And Johnny used to keep me company many times driving from Brum to Essex, especially on Friday night. That's from Nige in Bilston. Many thanks, Nige, for getting in touch. Well, after raiding my brother's record collection, I started to buy some of my own records. And this is an early one I got that I really love. Carole King, most people know from the Tapestry album. Well, she made some pop records years before that, like this one. I love the way that ends. Brilliant. Carole King, a very early record from her, and it might as well rain until September. I've listened to you for decades. That's Maxine, who's just texted in. Maxine, lovely to hear from you. Thanks for getting in touch. I tell you, it's such a buzz for me to come back to Birmingham and to be part of this whole Legend Weekend. And it's a lovely idea to celebrate 45 years of the existence of what was Radio Birmingham and is now BBC WM. I found another old jingle here. Good singing on this one. Very sort of Avengers style. Yeah, Radio 1 started in 1967 after the Pirates showed, really, that we needed pop music radio stations in this country. And the first commercial station, I think, was LBC, a talk station in London, started in about 1969, maybe. And then just after that was a London music station, Capital Radio. And that's when the BBC sort of said to themselves, wait a minute, we can't have the commercial boys, you know, opening up all these local radio stations, stealing our audience. We've got to do some BBC local radio. So various stations started up, including BBC Radio Birmingham, started in 1970. So it's been 45 wonderful years. Just going back to my brother, he had this lovely girlfriend called Leslie who wore the most amazing, very tight red hot pants, I seem to remember. And I used to know that he was going off to the local park with Leslie, so I kind of, you know, follow. And I became a right nuisance, you know, he wanted to get rid of me. Leslie had this horse, and I remember he whispered, my brother whispered something to Leslie, and then Leslie go, would you like to have a ride on the horse? So up I get on the horse, and once I was on, she gave it the rear end of it, a huge smack, and off I go at huge speed, completely terrified. That was one way of getting rid of me. But the record that always reminds me of her is this wonderful Ritchie Valens song, La Bamba. Very short record. 2 minutes and 1 second. Ritchie Valens and La Bamba. Wonderful record, that. Jay and Dudley has sent a text. Hi, Jay. Good evening to you. Great to know that you're on the other end. Also, Paul in Wolverhampton said, taking me back to when I was little on Monday mornings in Mother's kitchen. The radio's on full blast and the twin tub is on the go. I'm not quite sure the relevance of, I guess you know, you're doing your washing, I suppose. Anyway. Good to hear from you, Paul, and keep it loud. Now, going back to Carole King, she got married to a guy called Jerry Goffin, and they worked like many other songwriters, including like Neil Sedaka and Neil Diamond and Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil. They all worked in the famous Brill Building in New York. And they used to go in at 9 o'clock in the morning. They each had a tiny little office with a piano in, and it was their job to turn out a hit song by the end of the day. It was real pressure and real competition. And Carole King and Jerry Goffin wrote so many great songs, including this one. And Carole King had gone to the session, and I do love violin strings on a pop record. To me, I don't know, it just adds a certain something that's great. And the arranger for the string section had not turned up, and Carole King said, well, I'll have a go at writing. I've never done it before, but I'll have a go at writing a string arrangement. It turned out beautifully. It's one of my favorite records of all time. And this takes me back to when I was 15, and I was supposed to be revising, you know, getting ready for the GCE, as it was then called, O-level exams. But I took a job during the summer holiday working at a factory in Birmingham. And they used to make these brass cylinder-type sprays that people would buy to spray stuff on their roses and then. And I was operating this great centerless lathe polishing machine. Working from 8 in the morning till about 6 at night, just 30 minutes off for lunch. And during the lunch break, I just had time to go down to the cafe at the bottom of the road. I've got egg, beans and chips, cup of tea, slice of bread, 1 and 9 pence. And they had a huge jukebox in there. And I always used to stick a tanner, as we called it, 6 pence into the jukebox. And this was the record I inevitably chose. Written by Carole King, Jerry Goffin, string arrangements by Carole King. And this is the song. Just love that record. You know, it was really hard to get a snog back in those days, you know. You kind of chatted up a girl, and you had to tell her you loved her if you were, you know, open for a snog. But that was the big question, of course. Yeah, you might say you love me tonight, but what happens tomorrow? Larry's got in touch. Can you arrange to do this every Friday night? I'd love to. Bringing back lots of happy memories, says Larry. Enjoying all the songs, says Kevin. Happy birthday to BBC WM. It is our 45th anniversary Legends weekend, and coming up at 10 o'clock tonight will be Bev Bevin and Caroline Martin. And Les Ross, as I mentioned, will be in after 8 o'clock. He's up early tomorrow morning. He'll be doing a breakfast show between 5 and 7. Reiner, the email address, bbcwm@bbc.co.uk, and text 81333. Start your message with WM. And you can get us on Facebook and Twitter, of course. Now, if you're playing records from this era of pop music, got to play the next guy. John Lennon famously once says, before Elvis Presley, there was nothing. Well, he certainly started a music revolution. He was just incredible. His looks, his voice, so hard to choose an Elvis Presley record. But this has always been a big favorite of mine. BBC WM 95.6, the Legends Weekend, and we're playing some legendary music at the moment, Elvis Presley and A Girl of My Best Friend. I'm going to play a record from the Everly Brothers. They had such influence on so many artists. You can talk to loads of people who, you know, specialize in having vocal harmonies as part of their sound. The Eagles, Steely Dan, loads of bands. And in fact, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, they met together in school. Art Garfunkel sang a song at school once, and Paul noticed all the girls immediately paid him a lot of attention. And Paul thought, this is good, you know, I'd fancy some of that myself. And he used to go around to Art Garfunkel's house because Art had a record player and a tape recorder. And so they used to listen to loads of Everly Brothers records and then record themselves, trying to practice getting that great harmony sound of two different voices so together. Don and Phil, the Everly Brothers, and a great old one from them. That's Wake Up Little Susie. Now, I mentioned the Navigation Inn. I managed to get a job there because I was a DJ at the Locarno Ballroom in Birmingham, of course. And I only managed to get that job by nagging the manager every Friday night for about 6 months. And he used to hide from me. I used to go with my girlfriend Pat because I had a great disco on the first floor in a smaller ballroom on a Friday night. And I'd seek out the manager and I said, I'd really like to have a job here as a DJ. Because I've always loved the idea of sharing music. You know, you could get your friends around at home and listen to records together. But, I mean, doing it on the radio is the ultimate. But until then, discotheques were the things. And to be able to be a DJ and be up there and keep the dance floor full and give everybody, you know, help everybody have a really good night out. I just loved that. You're just sharing great music. And the manager started to hide from me, and I used to have to search him out. And I said, I'd still like to have a, you know, job here. And he said, have you got any experience? And I said, yeah, you know, I've been DJing for 2 years, he said. anyway, he said, you can start Friday night in the Bally High Bar, which was a bar that, the Hawaiian-themed bar. And I had one turntable. I'd never been so frightened in all my life. And I used to have to chat between records as I took the old record off and put the new record on. But because I got a job as a DJ at Locarno, I could go to other places and also get DJ work. I worked at the Carlton Club, which became Mothers. I remember Carl Wayne and the Vikings were on there in the early days. And also the Navigation Inn that I mentioned before. And this is one record that always reminds me of the Navigation Inn. We had a brilliant sound system. It was really loud. And just a driving, pulsing beat of this record just turned me right on. This is Otis Redding. Fantastic. The drummer on that was Al Jackson, the group that backed all those Stax Atlantic records of Booker T and the MGs. Steve Cropper on guitar. What was his name? Donald Duck Dunn on bass. Booker T. Jones on organ. And Al Jackson. What a great drummer. What a great sound they made. Brilliant. Otis Redding, respect. Of course, Aretha Franklin had a huge hit with it sometime later on. It's the Legends Weekend. You're listening to BBC WM 95.6. Tom is back in hometown Wolverhampton for the weekend. Great to know you there, Tom. Have a good weekend. Just William texted in. No, tweeted, actually. Sent in a tweet, said, I used to take a tiny radio to school in the 70s to hear the Radio 1 Top 20 Rundown every Tuesday. Here I am again. That's great, William. Lovely to hear from you. And also June in posh Surrey, or Bab. She kind of describes herself as half a Brummie. June says, hiya, Johnny. I remember the excitement when I came home as a child of 10 to the sound of the pirate stations, and I was so upset when the Marine Offences Act came in on August the 14th, 1967, and they pretty much all shut down. There were such great days. I remember hearing Flowers in the Rain, the first ever record on Radio 1, and thinking it was not the same as the pirate stations, and something special had died. You and I have spoken. I fooled you by assuming a Scouse accent and calling myself Flory Bat in order that I may guess the mystery voice on Radio 2. I thought it was Karen Carpenter, but it wasn't. But it was good to speak to you. My mum, as you Brummies would say, comes from Nechels. Oh, is it Nechels or Nechels? Nechels, thank you. And I thought it very endearing when any Brummie I met called me Bab. After I spent the whole of the summer holidays working in that factory, I went back to school with a right old Birmingham accent, which did not go down well with the teachers there. Hope you're keeping well and glad you recovered from your illness. So am I. So Flory Bat, otherwise Bab, also June in posh Surrey. Lovely to get your email. Thanks very much. Now, the thing is, so many records that were hits for British bands were cover versions of American originals. The Hollies had a big hit with this, but here's the original from Doris Troy. Just one look, So many great singers from the USA back in the early 60s, Doris Troy and Just One Look. And going back to playing records at home, I used to annoy my parents no end because we got rid of the wind-up gramophone, and then we got a proper little electric record player. We got a radiogram, actually, which is, you know, kind of a square wooden box with a radio built in and a record player in the top. And I loved them because they worked, a transistor hadn't been invented. They worked on valves, so you had to switch it on and then wait for it to warm up, which was great. And I discovered that it had a kind of spindle that you could stack a load of records on. And rather do that, I just put one record on and then left the arm off that you could swing over. You leave the arm off, and I discovered that if you do that, the record just goes on playing over and over again, which used to annoy my folk. Turn that down, was all that stuff. This is definitely one I used to play over and over again. This is Fontella Bass. Fontella Bass, rescue me. David Jones from Penford in Wolverhampton. Thanks for your email, David. Great to hear from you. This one from Marie in West Midlands says, great memories up the Locarno, Johnny, with my mates. A brilliant choice of the Four Tops. Yeah, it's not one that gets played much, that one I played earlier on, Something About You. So glad you remember the Locarno days, Marie. I tell you, this is such a thrill to be here in Birmingham, to come back home. And I don't get here as much as I should or that I'd like to. Since my parents passed on, there hasn't been that much of a reason somehow to come back. But I should come back more. Jasper Carrot, I did an interview with him for Radio 2, and he gave me a right ticking off. He said, Johnny, you need to come back to Birmingham more. So it's wonderful to be here this Friday night and be part of the Legends weekend. And talking of Motown records and sort of obscure ones, Marvin Gaye became huge with the two albums, What's Going On and Let's Get It On. But he made some wonderful records before that, more dance-styly. And I'm still here playing records that I used to play at the Navigation Inn and at the Locarno. Here's an old Marvin Gaye. Such a great danceable record. That's Marvin Gaye, Ain't That Peculiar. It's a Legends weekend here on BBC WM, and we go up to the news with this from the Miracles. The Cookies and Chains. That's a song the Beatles did on their first album, Please Please Me. And I was a massive Beatles fan, about 17 years old. I was in love with my first really big love, a girl called Jenny, who lived in Shirley. And we both used to buy each other Beatles singles and Beatles albums. And her dad hated the Beatles, couldn't stand them. I remember when She Loves You came out, and he went, She Loves You, yeah, 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 you call that music? And of course, the fact that he hated them just made it all the better. And one night I shall never, ever forget, I went to the Plaza Ballroom, Rookery Road in Handsworth, with Jenny. There was a queue about half a mile long outside. We managed to get in, and playing that night were the one and only Beatles. I've never known an atmosphere for a gig like it. And I seem to remember, you know, the place was just such anticipation because they were doing a double gig. There was a woman called Mrs. Green. She was famous back then for booking doubles. So that, I can't remember the other venue, but they played the other venue first. And then I guess at about 9:30, they got to the Plaza Ballroom, Rookery Road. The girls were screaming. The place was going mad. And the Beatles, we saw them in the flesh. Unbelievable. And they came on and opened up with this.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Oh, what a night that was. They ended up the show with Twist and Shout, and all the girls were just going crazy. I remember I was holding hands with Jenny, and at the end, when the girls realized that they were going off, they just all screamed and just ran for the stage just to try and get near to the Beatles. It was just a wonderful night, and I'm just so pleased to have been a Brummie and to be able to see the Beatles playing live at Plaza Ballroom. Great music tonight. Sounds as though you're enjoying being back on your patch. Text from Jeff Stone. Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you. An extra birthday present for me. Phil and I have been together for 45 years. Could you please tell him I love him very much? So not only BBC WM, but also Phil and Liz celebrating their 45th anniversary. Many congratulations. My wife asked me to wash up at 7, so I thought, right, I'll have WM on. It's Johnny Walker's on. I'm only nearing halfway through the washing up, so I'm concentrating on the show. Can't stop dancing around. Boston Knight, says Harris of Pelsall. Great Horace, that is. Great to hear from you, Horace. I guess you've done the washing up now. You just enjoy the music. Someone who's presented a breakfast show in the West Midlands for 35 years is joining me for a chat after this. I went with Jenny to a place called the Shirley Annex, which is kind of a wooden hut that used to have good groups on. And Screaming Lord Sutch played there and frightened all the girls to death who were right at the front of the stage. But another band who used to play there regularly was Denny Lane and the Diplomats. And many groups broke up to form that great Birmingham group, the Moody Blues. And here is, I think I'm right in saying, the voice of Denny Lane doing lead vocals on this great record.
We've already said...
Yeah, that has to be Danny Lane, the Moody Blues, and Go Now. Send that out to Mark, who's listening online in Ipswich. And a very good evening to all those listening online. He's working hard on the Ipswich 24 magazine and tuned in to BBC WM. And talking of legends and the Legends Weekend, here is a breakfast show legend. Les Ross is here. Very good evening to you.
Hi, Johnny.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You should be in bed, man. You've got to be up really early.
Oh, I've got to be up really early, yes. Those words ring down the ages. I've got to just say, first of all, the Ritz, King's Heath.
Yeah.
That was the other venue to...
Mrs. Green.
That's right. That's Shuran, it. Yeah, the Ritz in King's Heath. And the artists used to run from one to the other.
Yeah.
To do the... So the Beatles did. They did the run across from the Plaza Handsworth to Ritz King's Heath. That's right. And...
they only used to do 45-minute sets in those
days. Right,
that
yeah.
was it.
Well, they had to get across the other place, didn't they?
Yeah.
They got their money's worth.
So listen, when you were... Was it BBC Radio Birmingham when you were doing breakfast?
Yeah. That
you
was my
the
first
beginning?
Radio. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I wasn't on the first day because the long story short is, I read about the station opening in the Birmingham Mail, and my dad, because I'd always said, oh, I've got to be on the radio, I've got to be on the radio. Not with a voice like that, you won't. So he dared me to enter to send a form saying, you know, I'm coming to the auditions. They auditioned 400 people. It turned out over a weekend. It was in June 1970. The station opened, obviously, November the 9th. And as it happens, 400 people turned up at the Broad Street Studios. They were still building Pebble Mill then.
Yeah.
Radio Birmingham finally opened in Pebble Mill.
So out of that 400, how many
they chose
a job?
Four. Yeah. And I must mention my colleague, John Henry. I thought, how can I make an impression here? Oh. You know, I know loads of people turn up. So I asked my colleague, John Henry, who was a local DJ, clubs and whatnot. I said, want to come and do a double-handed show? He wasn't so keen on the idea. I said, go on, because I think a bit of self-interest. I thought, we can be a bit different. So we turned up. And I mean, the audition lasted, 2.5 minutes, you know. Sent you in the studio. Play this record. Read this weather forecast. Now say something off the top of your head, whatever. Anyway, To be, you know, very fair to BBC Radio Birmingham. You can imagine, it was the BBC in 1970, you know. I mean, it was fairly starchy, and, you know, and the three men who auditioned were Jack Johnston, who was the first manager of BBC Radio Birmingham, Brian Harris, the first programme organiser, as they called them, and Barry Lancaster, who was a senior producer.
Now, forget the 45 years. Let's go back about 47 or 48.
Yeah.
Are you finally now going to own up that you bribed the judges in that DJ competition? When I came third and you came first?
You're still bitter, aren't you? Did you come third? I thought you came second.
No, I think I was third, actually.
Oh, you were that bad. That was at what they called then the Gay Tower Ballroom in Edgbaston.
Of
course, it wasn't, by the way.
Yeah.
Gay, I mean. But anyway, it's still there, the Tower Ballroom. And that was, funnily enough, the Birmingham Evening Mail organised the Disc Jockey of the Year competition.
They
1966.
I think...
We all turned up and, I won in the end, didn't
you
I?
You won, well done.
And can
well
I say done. That it's... strange to think that after that I became an international superstar in certain parts of the West Midlands,
yeah.
And you just sank into the obscurity you enjoy today.
That's very kind of you, Les. Well, there you go.
I'm kidding. Yeah, no,
I think my microphone technique let me down. I was using the microphone too close to
because you were
mouth,
doing the club thing. Do you know that was my very first time of playing a record in anger in public.
Really?
Because I was still at school.
You did well.
That was my excuse.
You did well.
And can I just say, Johnny, I must say this now. After the final, where we were judged by the great and the good, and I won. I talked to you. It's the first time I met you, obviously. And you actually said, you probably don't remember this, you said, keep it up, you're really great.
Did I?
You did.
That was...
So thank you very much.
I was a good loser.
And it did. You were indeed, yeah. And you are a very nice man, I must say.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Yeah. Now, listen, we've heard one great Birmingham group, the Moody Blues. Here's another. So many good records they made, especially Give Me Some Loving, another great one from the Spencer Davis Group. That one was good, Keep On Running. Johnny, you're really taking me back, loving it, especially the Motown, the Northern Soul influence. Thanks, mate. That's Grimmy in Rugeley. This one from Mick Welch. I used to visit the Carlton and the Locarno. Listening to your music now playing brings back happy memories from an ex-Brummy now living in Fort William. Great to hear from you, Mick. Johnny, Mar Regan, and the other venue was the Ritz in King's Heath, as Les Ross has pointed out. That's from Tony. Thanks for getting in touch. It's bbcwm at bbc.co.uk. Here's the email. Text is 81333 and start your message with WM. And you'll find us, of course, on Twitter and Facebook. So none of that Twitter, Facebook malarkey going on when you started up, Liz.
It was Pigeon Post, wasn't it? Yeah, none of that.
Les Ross is here. He'll be doing the breakfast show tomorrow morning from 5 until 7, and then he's back on Sunday to doing 7 till 9. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do for the Legends Weekend?
I don't know, really. What I always used to do on breakfast show, kind of make it up as so it's longer. I'm sure it'll be all right.
Now, listen, you were on the BBC for ages, and then you did the really terrible thing, and you went round to the commercial opposition. Now, why did you do that?
Look at this man, who, by the way...
Was it for the shilling?
I remember you ran away as well, because after that competition that you came third in, I think. Did everybody hear that?
Yeah, we've been through that.
You ran away to the Navy, didn't you? Or was it? It was a ship, I know that. Yeah. Anyway, mid-70s, and I've been given my break by BBC Radio Birmingham. I mean, I'll always be grateful for that.
So where's the loyalty list? You went off to the opposition. I mean, how could you do a thing like that?
He's getting his own back now for coming third.
Was it different?
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was scary, of course, you know. Mind you, I was always scared. I'm still scared now. I'm still a bit, missus.
Well, listen, I'm glad to know, Les, you've been putting in so much preparation and hard work and everything, planning your very special Legend shows.
A lot of planning, yeah. Can I just say, we're going to play a couple of tracks tomorrow morning that are from... You may know this phrase, BBC coded music. That's like test card music.
Right.
So I tell you why. One last BBC Radio Birmingham story. When it came on air on November the 9th, as I said, the first show I did was a Saturday morning pop show with John Henry. So we turned up on November the 14th, which was the first Saturday, and we're all ready, and we were told you can't play any records.
What?
Yeah, that's what we said. What? I think that's what we said. I said, what do you mean, come play? We forgot to apply for needle time. Would you like to explain what needle time was back on the BBC? It was where you were only allowed to play an hour a day of commercial music.
Well, listen, you might not have had enough records, Les, but you could play jingles like this one.
Radio Birmingham. 206
Did you really sit there and play NAF jingles like that?
I think I probably did. Things have got better, haven't they?
They have. Well, listen, Les, good to see you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your show tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock and then Sunday morning 7 until 9. Have a great time.
To be on your show, Johnny. Thank you.
It's lovely to see you. Now, here's a record that I go back to the Navigation Inn in Wootton so many times, but I had such good times being a DJ there, and there are other DJs, of course, used to work there. But Friday night, this was the first record I always played at the Navigation Inn. First record on a Friday night, The Drifters at the club. What would I play next? Something like this. Another early Miracles hit that's going to a go-go. It's BBC WM on 95.6 FM, and it's the Legends Weekend. Johnny Walker here until 10 o'clock. Bev Bevan and Caroline Martin taking over at 10 through until 1 a.m. And then tomorrow, Les Ross, 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock will be Malcolm Boyden, and then a very special show, Chris Tarrant. will be here doing a great show for BBC WM. That's from 9 until 11. And at 11 o'clock through until 2, Nick Owen will be here. And he'll be playing in the show the top 10 vinyl countdown of the top 10 from this week back in 1970. So that's going to be really something to look forward to. So there'll be lots of scratches and pops and all sorts of stuff. But as many people are finding out, you get a wonderful sound from vinyl, really warm sound. So check it out with Nick Owen tomorrow at 11 o'clock. John and Sandra from Walsall, thank you very much for your text. What else we got? My wife Doran and I used to listen to you on Caroline in the 60s. We were members of your Kiss in the Car Club. Maybe you could play that Percy Sledge song. That's from Pete in Castle Bromwich. I will. We've got that coming up very soon. But the last mention of the navigation end was one particular night when the Daily Mirror had run an article about a new pirate station. Radio Caroline, Radio London was already on the air. And an American organization decided to come over and get in to pirate radio. And they thought they would just clean up. They called the station Swingin' Radio England. And this fellow came up to me at the navigation and he said, Johnny, did you read that in the Daily Mirror about that new station? I said, yeah, I did. He said, why don't you apply for a job? And I said, no, they're going to be all American DJs. They mentioned that in the article. And he said, no, you know, I bet they're going to want a couple of Brits. So he planted the seed. And the day before, the Friday night, I'd had an ultimatum from my garage boss. And he said, Johnny, you can't serve two masters. You've either got to be a proper car salesman or you're going to be a DJ. What's it to be? I'll give you 2 weeks to think about it. And I said, oh, I don't need 2 weeks. I'll give you the answer now. I'll be a DJ. Thanks. So that was it. I walked out of the job. My dad went ballistic. What are you going to do now, son? I said, well, I don't know, Dad. You know, I think I might hitchhike around the world or I get a job on a pirate station. And as luck turned out, I called the Daily Mirror, found out where the people were staying, which was the Hilton Hotel, Suite 1017, never forget it. Called them on Monday, got through, and said I'd like to apply for a job as a DJ. And they said, well, send us a tape. So I quickly made up a tape. And the next day, Tuesday, I thought, well, I'm not doing anything. You know, I'm out of work. Instead of sticking it in a post, I'll take it down there. So I get on the train from New Street, go down to Paddington, find my way round to the Hilton, knocked on the door. I said, here I am with my tape. And they kind of, you know, chatted to me for a bit. And then I had to read the news because DJs would have to be newsreaders as well. Read that into a tape machine. They said, if you could just go ahead and stand in the corridor for 5 minutes, we'll have a little chat. 5 minutes later, they opened the door and they said, welcome to Swingin' Radio England. Amazing. I was out of work for 2 days. The first record I played, one of the first records I played on Swingin' Radio England in May of 1966 was the wonderful Simon and Garfunkel.
We come on.
The Beach Boys and Sloop John B, not Simon and Garfunkel, they're coming next. It's kind of, I did get nervous before the show at 7 o'clock. First of all, they wanted to stick me on the telly for 40 seconds. I was part of Midlands today, and I was trying to practice the desk or the board or whatever us DJs call it. You know, all the faders and the knobs, and it's very different to the one I'm used to. But and that's my excuse. You know, bad workman blames his tools, all of that. Hi, Sean in Birmingham. Great to hear your text or see your text. Many thanks for getting in touch. And hello to Paul Foster from Worcester, listening on the BBC Radio Player app. That is a brilliant app, that is. I love it. So, Paul, good to know you tuned in. Johnny, I saw T-Rex at the Odeon in Birmingham. Did you? Great times. That's from Liz. I didn't actually. Missed that one. And Morris in Worcester. Many thanks for your text, too. So I'm on this radio station called Swingin' Radio England, moored in the North Sea, anchored near to Radio Caroline and Radio London. And we used to play a lot of Simon and Garfunkel.
I'm sitting in the railway silently for me.
This is Swingin' Radio England, Boss Radio. Was how they had us performing on that radio station. That was Simon and Garfunkel, Home of Bland. Here's another big favourite from that era. Rolling Stones, Get Off of My Clown.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones and Get Up On My Cloud. It's BBC WM 95.6, Johnny Walker with you until 10 o'clock. And then it's going to be Bev Bevan and Caroline Martin. Great memories. This is Steve Josbury, who emailed in from Colton in Staffordshire. I remember being a painter and a decorator, listening in the van to waiting for the quiz. Big thank you for introducing sounds to me, especially the Eagles, who I was lucky enough to see perform live. Thanks for writing a message in your autobiography. Long live the music, says Steve. And a wonderful email from a long-lost friend of mine called John Flanner. John, how fabulous to get an email. You and I, he says, go back a long way. I first sent you Something About You by the Four Tops when you mentioned on Radio Caroline that your copy had gone missing. Later became member number 555 of your fan club and used to meet up with you in London at the Atlantic offices with Jan Martin and my blind friend Neville, who sadly died at the age of 59. Sylvie and I were married on the 29th of November 69. On your Radio 1 afternoon show, you played All I Have to Do Is Dream for us by Glenn Campbell and Bobby Gentry. Still one of our favorites. I am blind too, of course, but I thoroughly enjoyed your autobiography when Sylvia read it to me. John, lovely to hear from you. Fantastic. All part of coming back home to Birmingham and to BBC WN. And you mentioned a certain radio station which was started by an Irish guy called Ronan O'Reilly, and he always referred to it as The Lady. And that lady really changed my life. The Fortunes, and they made a record called Caroline, and Radio Caroline immediately, as you'd expect, adopted it as their theme tune and used to play it when they came on the air, and often we should bung it on during the day. And a fellow who was boss of the record label EMI Records, Sir Joseph Lockwood, hated the pirate stations, did everything that he could to try and persuade the government to force them off the air. Meantime, all his promotional people, or pluggers as they were known in the trade, will be running round to Radio Caroline, to Caroline House off Curzon Street in London, with at least six copies of every single record that EMI released. Strange situation. But Sir Joseph Lockwood, the boss, was convinced that if the pirates played records all day, then people wouldn't buy many records because they could hear them on the radio. He was completely wrong. The opposite was the truth. And the pirates totally revolutionized the music scene in this country and opened up the way for a host of new record labels who were brave enough to sign new interesting bands that the four major record labels had had it all their own way for so long wouldn't sign. So there was a big change went on thanks to the pirates. Good evening to Phil in West Bromwich. TV is off, the radio is on. Great to hear from you. Hi to John and Sandra in Walsall. Johnny, no, hang on. Before that, talking of Caroline, Jerry Litchfield sent in an email. He said, came out to visit the Mi Amigo a couple of times on the Daily Viking Saga trip from Clacton. This is one of our highlights of the day. We're out there 3 miles anchored into the North Sea. We used to spend 2 weeks on the ship and then a week on leave. And every day, this pleasure boat kind of thing would come out, the Viking Saga from Clacton, and just circle around the ship. And I think we ended up throwing rotten tomatoes at them at one point. We thought we needed to put on a show or something. We were so scruffy, they couldn't tell the DJs from the crew, I reckon. But anyway, it was always good to see the Viking Saga come out. Remind me, was Frederica the Caroline North Ship or the forerunner to the Mi Amigo? Also, where was the Carlton Club in Birmingham? I can't remember. It became Mother's. So at Erdington, I think it was. And talking of clubs, another big favourite place of mine was the Elbow Room. I used to go there after I'd done my DJ gigs. It was a great place. Mi Amigo was the South Ship. The Frederica was a big old ferry. And that started off as Radio Atlanta. And then Radio Atlanta and Caroline merged with each other. And Radio Atlanta went up off the Isle of Man and became Radio Caroline North. And they actually broadcast as they journeyed in the ship around the coast, which must have been amazing. Now, Doreen And Pete in Castle Bromwich, we used to listen to you on Caroline. Members of your Kiss in the Clark Club, and please play that signature tune you played from Percy Sledge. Play it now for Doreen. We're 46 years married. Well, you mentioned When a Man Loves a Woman, Pete. The two hits by Percy Sledge, and When a Man Loves a Woman was a really big one. But I used to do this thing called the Goodnight Spot at 11 o'clock every night. And the one I used to play, I used to select somebody by letter and just read their letter out and kind of talk to them and dedicate this record to them. So, you know, different person every night. And over the years, I've met people who said, you say goodnight to me, Johnny, you know, back in 1966. Here's the song I used to play every night at 11 o'clock. There on the ocean now. I tell you, the Mi Amigo is a wonderful little ship, and the DJ studio was on deck, and there was this kind of structure on top of the deck where we had a common room where we used to go and have our meals. I used to live on cornflakes and toast, and then you went through a little door in the corner of the common room, and in a narrow corridor to the right would be your production studio where you could go and kind of make jingles and stuff like that. And then you carried on walking into the on-air studio, which was absolutely tiny and had windows front and back. And one night I saw this flashing light from the coast, and the engineer said, somebody's parked their car on the coast, flashing their lights at the ship. So I said, if you're listening in that car with your lights pointed at the Caroline ship, flash your headlights three times. And they did, so I could pinpoint where the car was. And that was the beginning of a whole of what became known as Frinton flashing, because the place we were opposite was Frinton in Essex, and people used to come down in their hundreds at the weekend and flash their lights at the ship, and I'd be out on deck. You could hear the ocean and the big rubber tires we had to prevent damage when the tender used to come alongside. The chains would be brattling and the sound of the sea. Oh, God. It was so fantastic. Wonderful days, special days. A very brave man joined Radio Caroline by the name of Chris Carey, who sadly is no longer with us, and his brother has just got in touch. Great to hear from you. Barmy Barry, I think his brother's name was, and Chris Carey used to be known as Spangles Maldoon out on the ship. Johnny, you should revisit the Navigation Inn. It'd be a sellout. There's an idea. And to Margaret from Winston Green said, I want a record token when you did Pop the Question years ago. Enjoying the program. Thanks for getting in touch, Margaret. Well, as well as playing slow soul records like that one from Percy Sledge, another feature on the Radio Caroline show I used to do every night was the 10 o'clock turn on time, when I'd pick two great soul records and play them back to back. And this is one of the all time favorites. It's 10 o'clock turn on time. There's a great drumming of Al Jackson again. Booker T and the MGs backing up Wilson Pickett on a real soul classic called In the Midnight Hour. You're listening to The Legends Weekend here on BBC WM. Johnny Walker with you until 10 o'clock, and then at 10, it'll be a very special show with Bev Bevan and Caroline Martin. Tomorrow starts with Les Ross at 5, Malcolm Boyden at 7 tomorrow. Chris Tarrant has a special show from 9 to 11. Nick Owen at 11 o'clock, got sport from 2 to 6. Network Gold with John Platt at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Then Introduced with Bev Bevan and Louise Brearley tomorrow night at 8. And then at 10 o'clock, it's Tony and Julie. And then on Sunday, the lineup is Malcolm Stent from 5 till 7, 7 o'clock till 9, Les Ross. And from 9 until 11, the voice of the Bulls, the man himself, Alan Dedicote with Jenny Wilkes, broadcasting 9 till 11 o'clock. 11 to 12 will be Carl Chin. And from midday till 1 o'clock, it'll be the Ed Doolin story. Thank you so much for all the messages. It's lovely to come home, lovely to hear from you. You can email to bbcwm at bbc.co.uk and text is 81333. And don't forget to start your message with WM. No apologies for two records from the Beatles in the show tonight. That's All You Need Is Love, of course, which the Beatles played live on the first ever satellite hookup, which meant that so many countries could join in. It was the beginnings of, you know, those kind of hookups where you could broadcast to the whole world. And a very special show that the Beatles featured in. They sang All You Need Is Love live in the studio. And the other reason why that record's very special to me was, as we mentioned earlier on, the Marine Offences Act came in. It was a law that the Labour government brought in to put the pirates off the air because they couldn't license us. We were in international waters and they didn't like the idea of people really having a free voice and a powerful transmitter. So the law came in. All the pirate stations closed down on the 14th of August. But I, along with Robbie Dale and then eventually Spangles Maltoon and Stevie Merrick, kept Radio Caroline going. That was the first record we played, 12 Midnight, on August the 14th, 1967, to an estimated audience of 22 million people all over Europe. It was quite an amazing night. Then Caroline managed to keep going until March 1968. Radio 1 started in September 67. And eventually, after driving vans and doing anything to earn a living, I realized that if I wanted to be on the radio, it had to be the BBC. And I remember a fellow called Clive Selwood, who was managing John Peel, he said, Johnny, you've got to get back on the radio, and it's going to have to be Radio 1, despite what you've said in the past about not wanting to join them. Do you want me to mention it? And I said, yeah, okay. So he came back and he said, yeah, they're very keen to meet you, and they want to take you to lunch. And he gave me this bit of paper with a venue on, the Bark and Bite restaurant in Regent's Park. I thought, that's a bit weird. Anyway, I turned up there, 1 o'clock, the allotted time, and I was met by this fellow with a bristling moustache, looked like an ex-sort of RAF squadron leader. Mark White was his name. He said, Johnny, bit of a strange venue here for our first meet, but, you know, we thought you'd feel at home with all the portholes down the side. It was a floating restaurant in an old narrowboat. And I thought, that's a nice touch. These guys at the BBC, maybe, you know, not as bad as I thought, really. So I did my first show for Radio 1 in May 1969. I remember it was cup final afternoon. So they stuck me on when nobody was listening. Everybody was watching the footy. And I was looking at the charts of 1969, thinking, what were the first records I might have played on that show? And this was one of the biggest selling singles of 69, from the Archers. The Archers, good pop record that, Sugar Sugar. You're listening to BBC WM on 95.6, and it's the Legends Weekend, all a part of celebrating the 45th anniversary of BBC WM, which began as Radio Birmingham back in 1970.
There's only one place for music and conversation, BBC Radio WM.
And here's another old jingle. Grimmy sent in a text, said, Johnny, you're stirring so many people's emotions. And that was what the radio and the music was all about, as well as the DJs. Keep it up. And then a couple of ones about the chart show. We'll get into that in a minute. The great thing about the 1970s was that it was the beginnings of real album bands. So many groups found it very restrictive, you know, trying to tailor a 2.5 or 3 minute pop song to suit Radio 1 when they wanted to sort of experiment and broaden out a bit. And they did that by making really great albums. And I remember one that I got a hold of, which had a wonderful sleeve on it. And this was before they had any singles out. And I listened to it and I thought, wow, this music is great. You know, this is California. This is sunshine. This is just brilliant. And I think I can say, without, you know, at risk of blowing my trumpet just a little bit, first person in the UK to play the band called the Eagles. And that was Dusty Springfield. We'll get onto that. I do apologise for the occasional mistake here. New equipment. Here is the band, the Eagles. And this became just an anthem for free living in California and all over the world. And everybody still loves it, especially Steve Josbury from Carlton. They started out as the backing band for the singer Linda Ronstadt. Then they became the Eagles, and that song, which became a classic hit for the band, Take It Easy, was written by Jackson Browne. And he used to live in an apartment just underneath from Glenn Frey, a member of the Eagles. And Jackson Browne, an absolute perfectionist with songs, and he used to go to them over and over again. And old Glenn Frey used to bang on the door, "Jackson, I think it's finished." But one song he hadn't finished was that one. And Jackson Browne said, "I wonder if you can help me out with this. I'm kind of stuck here." And he was the thing was, Jackson Browne broke down in his car. He got a puncture or something. Either the spare was flat or he couldn't get the wheel off or something like that. So he was stuck on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. And he was trying to flag down other drivers to kind of give him a hand. And he had long hair, and a lot of people used to hate people with long hair back then. And nobody would stop. And so Glenn came up with that classic line. "It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me." And that was it. Completed the song. I mean, and then he gets half the royalties of Take It Easy. And when Jackson Browne plays a song at his own concerts, he has to say, "I sort of gifted this to the Eagles, but I actually wrote this song." It's a brilliant one. "Johnny, I used to run my socks off on a Tuesday at dinner time from school to hear the new number one. Great days. We'll never see the likes again. All the best, Johnny, and God bless," from Greg and Angie from Smethwick. "You got us throwing some shapes here, kid." I love that. And another one about Tuesday lunchtime and the chart rundown I used to do. We'd all pile into a school friend's house whose parents were at work. Firstly, listen to Pop the Question, then the chart rundown at 1 o'clock. What a great time. Not a care in the world. "You were definitely a part of many people's teenage years. Keep on rocking, Johnny." That's from Kazza in Aldridge. Thank you, Kazza, for that. Here's the memory of Tuesday lunchtime, the record I used to play to read the chart rundown. And it comes from that band I mentioned in the last hour who backed Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett and many others. This is Booker T and the MGs. Booker T and the MGs, and time is tight. I actually compared a tour which featured Booker T and the MGs. Stevie Wonder was headlining. Jimmy Ruffin was also on it. And we always used to travel around in the same bus, Stevie Wonder, all of us. And Ken, I think, was the tour manager, and it was the last night of the tour. And we'd done the last gig, can't remember where we were. It might have even been Coventry. Anyway, so Ken says, "Hey, fellas, I've got a really great surprise for you back at the hotel. Come on." So there's Stevie Wonder didn't come, but there's Booker T and the MGs. They all came, Steve Cropper and Duck Dunn and Al Jackson and all the rest of it. So we all go into the lift, up to the fifth floor, and we're thinking, wow, it's going to be a big party. And, you know, there's plenty of girls there, maybe some drink. You know, this sounds really good. And Ken opened up the door to his room, and we walked in there. It's completely empty. So I said, "Ken, what's going on?" I thought, you know, we had a really big surprise. He said, "Look at this, guys." And he lifted up the sort of counterpane on the bed and pulled out this huge cardboard box with about 15 portions of fish and chips. That was a big surprise, but it was a lovely touch. And I think it was one of the first times that Booker T and the MGs had a good old, you know, packet of fish and chips in a newspaper. Radio 1 was kind of weird for me. I had a wonderful time there for 7 years doing the lunchtime show. And Les Ross talked about needle time. It's a complicated thing, but it meant you couldn't really play records all the time, that you had to play maybe BBC groups doing cover versions of records. But they eventually gave me 2 hours of needle time, 12 to 2, and then after a few months, they nicked 15 minutes for a news program called Newsbeat, which disappointed me somewhat. Bit of an understatement there. And it was difficult because I wanted to play album tracks and things like that. I wanted to play the best of the chart records, but also wanted to play new things that maybe wouldn't ordinarily go on the Radio 1 playlist. And I used to be able to pick one record every week, which became our record of the week. This one caused quite some controversy. about day number three, the Daily Mail will ring up the BBC and said, should Radio 1 really be playing this record? The one in question was this. A record of the week of mine from Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side. A new assistant producer had to explain to the executive producer of my lunchtime show exactly what some of the slang expressions in that record actually meant, which couldn't have been a very easy job. And I interviewed Lou Reed a couple of times, and he's famous for being notoriously difficult interviewee. You know, if he thinks your question's enough, he sure lets you know. And I remember that he was talking about that, and he said, you know, a lot of radio stations in America wouldn't play that record. They thought it was too risque. He said, now I get, you know, mothers with four-year-olds, and the four-year-olds singing the song to me in the street. He said, it's a strange world.